B-Pod Studios.
Toucher and Rich.
I just want you to go, oh, yeah. And like, oh, yeah.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. You can watch us on twitch.tv. Subscribe to 98.5, the Sports Hub. And Rich, by the way, we're going to have Ty Anderson to talk about the Bruins on coming up.
He does not like your anti-Tuukka-Rask sentiment this weekend. Well, not at all.
To reiterate my point, I don't understand why everyone's freaking out. They lost the game in overtime in a 7-game series on the road. Big deal. Based on a goal that happened because McAvoy snapped his stick. Who cares? Everyone needs to calm the F down about that. They lose tonight, and then we talk tomorrow, it's going to be different. But if they win tonight, everything's good. They're in a great position, so who cares? All right. But, Rich, while some people are wasting their time watching hockey, there's...
Which, by the way, yesterday's hockey slate was awesome. Like, that Tampa Bay game was ridiculous.
A lot of people have them losing that series. All right. Well, you know, you're sitting there watching hockey when there's real life sports entertainment.
Fred, yesterday I was tweeted this numerous times.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, none of them, and I do need to go to the Inside the Ropes podcast to find out what the view of the experts was. I need to know where Jay Stu and Sarge stand.
We had
an
emergency podcast at 2 in the morning.
But listen, last year, I might have given them a little bit of guff, as you would say, for having a boneyard match where the druids came from the darkness in which to attack thy enemies.
Yeah.
But last night, Fred?
Yeah.
it's something that was called, WrestleMania Backlash.
Yeah, there's a lot of backlash from all the haters.
There was a match between The Miz and Damian Priest that was cut short and was cut abruptly because of an attack by lumberjack zombies.
It was a lumberjack zombie match?
Yeah.
An army of...
They make chests of drawers. They're the undead.
I'll take that over the boneyard match any day.
Yeah. They made my cabinets.
Chris Jericho is no longer in the WWE. Tweeted zombies. Wow, that just set wrestling back 30 years.
Yeah, Jericho, go back. You couldn't even handle it. Get in with the Miz. Don't think so.
They're in the
AEW, you loser.
All of a sudden, like, the two of them look outside the ring, like, whoa, what's going on here?
Yeah, there was the undead.
That's right, Fred.
They had a project.
Ooh, which dark corners of the jockstrap riddled locker room dump these monstrosities birthed?
There was a Pinewood Derby.
Apparently.
Is that right?
Yeah, there was an evil Pinewood Derby. Oh.
For the lumberjack zombies. Apparently it was a steroid experiment gone erroneous, transforming these fine upstanding businessmen into toy weight belt and figurine collecting beasts.
Yeah, these guys made all the tiki mugs at Kowloon.
Beware, it's Zombie Sarge.
He'd last 1 minute against the lumberjack undead.
What are you doing, man? My God.
Me and Sarge are building a boat out of logs and sailing down the Mississippi.
Oh, is that right? Great novel of you.
We got a guy named Jim with us, but don't call him by his nickname.
If you want to hear...
Huckleberry Sarge.
No, it's Huckleberry Sarge.
Huckleberry Sarge.
Hang on. This is Mark Twain's zombie lumberjack Sarge?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
Don't
correct.
Call Jim by his nickname.
I would never do that.
We sell potions.
Okay. Let's go to the tape. This is the sound of the Miz versus...
The Miz. He was on The Real World. Yeah. He was from Cleveland and said racist stuff.
If anybody saw this, 617-779-0995 versus Damian Priest.
Good luck, phone lines.
Out of nowhere, the zombies, the lumberjack all zombies right. approach.
It's not gonna, it's only audio, so it won't do it the horror to justice.
Miz is the zombie just prevented. Oh my God. Having flashbacks to Monroeville Mall. Miz now just throwing hands at anything that moves.
In the meantime, though, yeah, the Miz and.
It was almost funny to see the Miz throwing hands at anything that moves. The undead don't really care, Miz. Sorry.
Priest fighting the same enemy, and here's the key, Corey. You're going to focus on winning the match rather than focus on all these distractions.
How do you not focus on zombies, Virk?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, you need steel-like intensity to not focus on the zombies.
Imagine being given that script. It's like, I mean...
No, that wasn't in the script that you showed up.
It was improv.
Oh, yes.
They were in the stands.
Ah. Oh, yes. What a sinful infraction to interrupt a sacred WWE ring match with these musclehead mutants of the dam.
A more technical wrestler would have known what to do.
Were the druids not enough? Nay, they will not. Unleash the lumberjack zombies upon thy bodies.
The Miz gives a good promo, but when it comes to technical wrestling, yawn.
Miz and Damian Priest is trying to clear out the distraction of the undead so they can focus on this match somehow.
Damian Priest are working in unison to fight their way through a field of zombies.
Yep. It'd be a lot harder than they could have imagined, I'm sure.
Wait a second. The best analyst in the game listened.
It'd be a lot harder than they could have imagined, I'm sure.
Yeah. He took us right into the thinking of the Miz. This, whoops, I didn't sign up for this. Here we go.
So he just tweeted Zombie Sarge. It's all dead, baby.
Yeah, he wouldn't make it. No. No. He'd screw it up.
Beautiful kick by Priest.
We've seen Priest's athleticism on everyone tonight.
Now Priest and... What's a high five?
They're not really making that big a deal about all the undead in the ring.
I would say there's people who are dead who are now alive who have busted into this live event. Yeah.
They're not overly interested in this.
Phil, there are a lot of undead people in the ring.
Yes. There sure are, Dave.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Dynamite drop, Monty. Back to you.
He's eating someone's brains right now, and there's another one who is feasting on the flesh of one of these poor humans. We'll be right back with this ad for Snickers.
Nice gimmick. Eating the flesh of the undead.
Even wrestling fans have got to be looking at this and going, all right. I was asking Billy Lanny. Billy, you were saying that you like wrestling every once in a while, right?
I do.
Okay. Yeah. And you said that sometimes you will
tune
in. I work
with Jimmy. How could I not be into it?
Of course. Yeah. You sometimes tune in and then what happens? It's like a weird relationship.
It's a bad relationship because I watch and I think, oh, it'll change. It'll get better. And it doesn't.
And then it never ceases to amaze.
Right.
Then comes, the lumberjack zombies. They come craving blood and pot stickers from the Kowloon. Only Andy Wong has the antidote. But you have to get by Zombie Sarge and Zombie Chase 2 and his army of zombie cats first.
Cats. Uh-oh. Cats, I bring you to life. Make urine smell and mark territory, for this is your ring.
Sarge sucks your blood.
Oh, Sarge, time to take on the old Mississippi. Go on our travels.
Somebody's already made a Zombie J. Stu Photoshop.
It's just J. Stu.
It's just him lurking behind the board.
I've smelled like the undead for years.
When you survive a zombie apocalypse together, generally it's a bonding experience.
Damian Priest has other plans.
Broken Arrow.
The cover here on Miz from Priest.
Yeah, you ain't getting up from the broken arrow, sucker.
All right, did this cause an emergency? Because sometimes there's emergency podcasts. I would have to think if something is like otherworldly as zombies attacking the ring, that's something you immediately have to sit down and pontificate about, right?
Well, I was looking at Twitter over the weekend, and Jared Carabas from Barstool Section 10 podcast said, what if there was a live viewing of the Yankees-Red Sox game at the Loon? And Jim seconded that notion. And then I would imagine Jay Stu and Sarge were like, not on brand. Maybe the next WrestleMania, but...
Someone said Sarge went from calling 85 minutes of scoreless soccer to wrestling zombies.
Both were torture. All right, Ty Anderson is going to join us, and he was, I'm told, very active on Twitter, getting into it with anti-Rask people.
He wrote a very passionate article about people who hate Tuukka Rask called "The Dumbest Argument of Our Lifetime is Back and in Record Time."
Yeah, Rask did nothing not to warrant a start in game two, but maybe he has a different opinion than me in that I don't think there's a whole lot to worry about based on game one, but we can have that discussion in just a moment.
How do you not focus on zombies, Vert?
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Get you going every day.
I don't care for the sportsman-like talk.
Toucher and Rich.
At least let me live in a fantasy world that for 3 hours you hate each other.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Rebound far side. Oh, that knocked down Dillon. He's limping to get back into the play. Wilson brings it across on right
wing. One-man rush.
High slot, it's fired, and they score! I think Dowd may have gotten it. It was a shot at the right point that trickled through Raskin in. And the Capitals take game one, 3-2 in overtime.
Yeah, I think all the goals hit a stick. That's just, you know, how it goes sometimes. I think goalies in general are really good in this league. So, you know, it's a tough time to beat them with a direct shot anyway. So you're going to have some screens and deflections. And today they ended up having three of them. It's hockey, but I guess tough luck on me.
The Sports Hub with Toucher and Rich. That is Tuukka Rask after game one. The Bruins lost in overtime. McAvoy snapped a stick. Then Rask allowed a goal he probably should have had, but whatever. I mean, they lost in overtime. And then, like I said, I was driving back from Connecticut this weekend, and I was listening to the weekend radio here, which I enjoy. I'm not saying it's bad. It just has a different take than I have in that it was like, well, they're gonna lose in five now, and I don't know how you watch that game. I understand the first two lines were invisible, and that's not good. It's a seven game series. They lost one on the road in overtime with their first two lines being invisible. I don't get how that is some harbinger of great doom. And listen, if they lose tonight, it's a situation, and now they'd be in a situation where they got to win two at home, and you don't want to be in that spot. But if they win tonight, it's as old as playoff series. I mean, you split on the road, and then you have home ice advantage. Well, there's no crowd, Fred. Well, whatever. You have home ice advantage. You split in Washington, and you're the favorite. Ty Anderson writes for 98.5thesportshub.com.
He has had enough of this contingent to get rid of Tuukka Rask after that game. I'll just read you one, but there were many from over the weekend that made me laugh, and I love when Ty does this. Someone tweeted him saying, Ty Anderson, even after his man crush Rask lets in another softie, and to that, Ty Anderson responded with, weirdo Rask psychos when their, quote, favorite team loses a playoff game, and it means they can go shout at a beat writer for not thinking a very good goaltender is a terrorist instead of doing literally anything else with their life.
No, I don't get. Listen, and I have my own questions on Rask, and I'm very happy Swayman's there if needed, but, I mean, he did nothing to show that he shouldn't be the goaltender of this team in Game 2. I don't get it at all. But, Ty, hello. Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hello, Ty.
What's going on, guys? Yeah, I'm with you. I don't... Listen, at the end of the day, right, like, he stops 29-31 in regulation. Win the game. Win the game. Score three goals. You're going against a third-string goaltender. The offense has been good. If you're blaming him for what happened in overtime, I got some bad news. Probably shouldn't have gone to overtime to begin with. So, I don't know. I just think that you want to blame him for the overtime goal, sure. But I think that if you're, you know, your blame chart, three or four, in my opinion, and even that feels a little bit high. So, we'll see.
Well, do you watch? I mean, the question is, do you watch playoff hockey? Once it goes into overtime, things happen. A guy snaps a stick, and then here we go. Things happen in overtime. Did anyone watch the Chicago series, the final? I mean, they lost that. It was game six, right? They lost that game six. I still don't know what happened. I mean, once you get into overtime, you know, that kind of stuff goes on. Granted, the first two lines did not perform well. Then they didn't challenge Anderson at all, which is a shame because Anderson has no right being a goaltender for a team that's in the Stanley Cup playoffs. But did you see anything? I'll ask you this. Did you see anything that trends that this is going to be a series that's exceptionally difficult for the Bruins to win?
No. I just think that you probably had your worst deadline effort from both your top two lines, which is rare. That hasn't happened at all. So we haven't seen that. And I'm not really sold on this Washington defense. I haven't been all year. It's why I picked the Bruins going into the series. I think there are things you can expose. It might be a little bit harder when you don't have the benefit of last change. But if they can get the Bergeron line out there against Chara, I like that matchup for the Bruins. I really do. The one thing I would maybe say is heading into tonight, they're expected to keep the lineup the same, but maybe get a quicker line against Chara. You saw a lot of the Coyle, Corrali-Ritchie line. That kind of plays into his strengths, right? But if you get a DeBrusque out there or a Lazar or, again, the top two lines against Chara, that's where you can expose sort of that slower defense, right, and make them pay.
As we've seen Montreal do to the Bruins in the playoffs, every year we had Chara, they would just skate around them, and you get behind them and you make them turn around, and that takes him 15 minutes to turn around, and then you can make things happen.
Let me just ask you this, Ty. What is the one complaint that people have about Tuukka Rask that drives you the most crazy?
That he doesn't win in big games, and then we constantly change what constitutes a big game. Like, all of a sudden now game one is the most important game of the series, when for years, if he had a good game one, they'd go, well, let's see what he does when it matters. You can't constantly do that. Like, I never know what the set standard is, right? Like, so I just feel my biggest complaint is I just feel the goalposts constantly move. You know, this will be a big game, but this victory is not. Or that victory that wasn't a big game is now a team win, not a Rask win. But the loss is a Rask loss, not a team loss. So it's just the constant sort of moving of the goalposts. Like, the argument isn't framed in a way in which the people who hate him are never wrong. And that's what kind of bothers me. Because I can say when he has a bad game or lets in an ugly goal. Like, listen, the overtime goal, I'd love him to stop that. I really would. But I also look at what happened the 64 and a half minutes prior and say, well, I think he did enough to get you there. So... But if I say that, I'm now like a co-conspirator, you know, with his crimes against humanity. So it's a bizarre argument. It's lost all meaning. Everyone is way too dug in. But it's an exhausting argument, absolutely.
Well, the problem is that he hasn't won a cup. He took over for a guy that stood on his head and won a cup for them. And also, you know, he's as goalies can be. I mean, he's a bizarre guy in terms of just what happens. He doesn't always seem completely committed. I get all these things, and I get being uneasy about him. But again, I'm with you. I don't know really. I mean, it's playoff hockey. It's overtime. I mean, there was a equipment malfunction that led to a rush, which led to a goal. I mean, if you're going to freak out every time that happens, you're going to have a heart attack by the end of these playoffs if they go on any sort of run. All right, but yeah. This I don't know, and I'm going to lean on your expertise of someone who's watched every minute of every game. You know, before the series, I thought that they might play Trent Frederick. I thought that that might be someone that they use. You don't want to get out muscled. He's another big body that you can have in there. Do you see a reason to put him in yet? Do you see if you were running the team, if you're Cassidy, do you see a reason to have Trent Frederick in?
So the problem with that, because I think this is a series where you could honestly throw Trent Frederick in there, but the problem is the guy that you throw him in there for is probably Wagner or DeBrusk, and DeBrusk scored a goal last game, so
I wouldn't take out DeBrusk
about that line.
Wagner has had playoff success.
He didn't do anything to get himself tossed out of the lineup on game one.
I thought
he played fine.
No, he didn't. But I'm not. You're definitely not taking out DeBrusk. He's too good, and he's performed in the playoffs before. If you cannot take him out, I don't even care if he plays poorly tonight. You still can't.
No, exactly.
He's too good, and he's done it before. And I don't like the idea of taking him out. But did you feel they were muscled around? Because that's what I'm asking about, like with trends. Do you see like something that trended in that game where you go, wow, the Bruins really have to? Because they certainly, it wasn't a speed issue. Do you think that they were out muscled in some way, that they're out physical? They were too physical, Washington. Did you see anything that concerned you?
When the game started, I did. I thought Washington was flying, and I was like, oh, this might be some trouble. But I thought they got better as the game went along in terms of handling that, maybe answering, setting their own tone. I think that they understand their own team and what they can do. I think that for them, pressuring Washington is not going to be the same as how Washington pressures you in terms of their physicality with Wilson and with Ovechkin. You know, Ovechkin drilling Krejci there. Once that happened, I was like, now I don't feel so great about this. But I thought it got better again, like I said, as the game went along. But also, the way the Bruins want to match Washington physically is with what we talked about a little bit earlier with that speed and getting in on the forechecking and making their defensemen sweat and have to play the puck, because outside of Orlov and Carlson, this blue line is not that great at handling the puck. So that's the form of anxiety and pressure that the Bruins want to put on the Capitals versus ramming through the boards. And Frederick can help with something like that as well. I mean, he's kind of a mix of both. It's just a matter of where does he slide in. And we were saying about DeBrusk and Wagner, so you look at that third line, right? Like, that third line really didn't play very well.
No.
And is Coyle 100%? I don't know. He didn't look great to begin, but again, he got better as the game went along. So who would you take out, right? Like, it's kind of a weird spot they're in here where the top six is untouchable, and the fourth line played pretty well. And that third line, they like most of the players in there, so who would they take out? So it's kind of a weird question, but no. I think at some point you'll see Frederick in the series. I think you're going to have to wait for the Wilson factor to emerge and hit for him to do something stupid or target one of their players, and then they throw him in there. Kind of like what they did with Sean Thornton in 2011. I think it was game three when they went down 0-2. They threw him in there. So it's got something like that. But I think this will be a series for him. It's just that temperature has to rise or prove that the Bruins can't hang with it. And I thought that they hung with it better as the game went along on Saturday.
Obviously, the goaltending situation, Ty, for Washington is very much up in the air. No one's really sure when or if we're going to see Vitek Vanacek again. But we were talking about this earlier in the show. If you're Washington, who would you rather play? Would you rather play Craig Anderson, who really wasn't challenged in game one, and kind of cross your fingers? Or would you play the kid, Copley?
I wouldn't play Copley. If Samsonov is cleared, I feel like he might be an option for them. But I think that when Vanacek got hurt, I almost went, ugh, I don't like this, because Vanacek kind of stinks. And I felt this way all year. And Anderson's like the old veteran who has nothing to lose, and he's making like $400 or whatever it is, so he can just go in there, and it's house money, right? But I think that ultimately the Bruins should have an advantage and win these games if they simply hit the net. They had the most misses single game since December 2018. So hit the net. These goaltenders aren't good, no matter who it is, whether it's Copley or Anderson, Vanacek, Samsonov. Bring Ole Cole's, they got a retirement. It doesn't matter. I think that this team has a substantial advantage in net. Even with Tuukka being Tuukka, as everyone complained, they should win this series in net. And so I think that just you got to challenge them more. But if I'm the Caps, I'd probably stick with Anderson right now. I think he would be your best option available.
Is there a point, Ty, where you tell yourself, all right, I'm going to stop arguing with people on Twitter? And then
yeah,
you see something,
and I get suckered in.
And then someone just fishes you right back in. Is there times where you look at the tweet and you go, "All right, is this person serious, or are they just trying to see if I'm going to yell back at them?"
I think I don't know. It's like the worst. If it's a bit, I hate it.
But that's the thing. It's like, what kind of losers just putting stuff up that you don't believe just to start a fight? Like, what is that doing for you? Like, if you really believe it,
I'm in your head, Ty. I'm in your head.
See, the thing is, you get one. Like, I understand. You're consuming media. You're reading Ty Anderson, and you get pissed, and you go, F you, Ty. I get that. And same with me. Like, you did this, Fred. You suck. F you. I get that. When it becomes repeated, and if you're saying stuff you don't even believe just to try to get me to say something, like, what is wrong with you?
Well, this is great because somebody tweeted him and said, I miss the good old days when a beat writer would actually be impartial and would call out a player for a blunder that cost his team a game. But I guess that's asking too much in today's day and age. And you tweeted him back, I don't need or want your approval. Go read an AP Newswire.
Well,
yeah, I don't get, I don't understand why people... You know, like, there are people who openly root against their favorite team, basically, so they can be right about their take. And I could never imagine being that person. If I don't like something, you know what I do? I just ignore it. I don't go to it. I don't spend energy on it. That's how I live my life. And I don't understand.
Do you think that does anyone really think that the Bruins coaching staff, when they went back and watched that game, watched that last goal and said, we have a real problem with Tuukka? And I would be the first, anyone who listens to the show knows I'd be the first guy to say it. There's no way. There's out of all the concerns that they, when put yourself in their shoes, with all the concerns and all the things that they, when they're having the meeting of the minds and they're watching the game tape, Tuukka is not even on their list of things from that particular game. Now, could something happen? Yes. And Ty is much as most guys that are cover the team are is much more eye on Tuukka than I am, but there's no way that coaching staff got together and went, oh boy, guys, like, we really got to watch Tuukka, like, this is a big problem. No, that didn't happen. What they would say is, why were we so ineffective? But the one thing they're probably kicking themselves about is, Ty alluded to, is that you have Craig Anderson in goal and you can't get a puck on the net. That they exactly. Probably drove them crazy. So the whole idea would be, how do we get our offense going? What are we doing? How do we get our offense going?
There's not a person on that team blaming Tuukka this morning. Well, not a player on that team.
No, not when the, listen, would it have been nice if he made that save? Absolutely. But it's, you have to remember what happened in front of him. It was really no one's fault. That goal, that's the one thing you can say. I mean, blame the whoever made McAvoy's stick. I mean, that's who you got to blame. Blame for not using wood sticks no more. Those composites are too fragile.
the biggest thing for me is, or I found this telling, really, is that after the game, Bruce Cassidy, he's not afraid to call out anybody. He's done it even when you don't really expect it. You're like, wow, that was kind of biting there. He didn't bring up the goaltending once at all. He said the defense was pretty good throughout the night, but they made some bad decisions to activate. And he mentioned how the top guys, Bergeron, Marchand, Pastrnak, Krejci, didn't really have it tonight. He said our offensive guys didn't really have it tonight, and that hurt us. So he called out everybody besides the goaltending. He's not afraid to call out the goaltending.
There's no reason he would have. When people analyze the game, they go, well, Washington was very physical and Rask sucked. Well, what you did is you saw Krejci get hit. And then you saw Rask allow the goal. I mean, that's what you saw. I mean, you didn't see anything else that happened in that game. I mean, listen, I would come on here in 10 seconds and go play Swayman. I think Swayman, I'm the only one on the planet that thinks Swayman should be their starting goaltender next year, unless Rask agrees to a short contract on short money. But nonetheless, please, let's not go crazy with the Rask stuff. All right, listen, Ty Anderson, read him on 98.5 The Sports Sub. You can yell at him on Twitter. And just say things you don't believe, just so he'll respond.
He'll always answer you.
Just so he'll respond. It's such a thrill.
I'm going to get dragged in with my 11 a.m. I'm going to hate myself even more so than usual. I'm not looking forward to this rest of the day.
The best is people go, Fred, you're a pussy. You stop putting stuff on Twitter. Like, oh, yeah, I'm a big pussy. Like, I don't want to deal with all you people pretending to be someone else. All right.
And then you talk to somebody about it. You go, oh, I'm just arguing on Twitter. And a real person just goes, what is wrong with you? Just stop doing that. And I'm like, you're right.
I am convinced, and I don't think Rich is even this convinced, but I am convinced that no one on Twitter is who they claim to be. I think that I think that really locally there's about six guys on Twitter, and they're all under different aliases. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Why not?
Ty Anderson's got at @TukaLover387.
It would be too obvious. He would be at @TukaHater, and then he would come out and support his own tweets. All right. Well, Ty, thank you so much for the time.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
All right, we'll talk to you again.
He's going to be busy tweeting back. I see one right here. After 623 games, I can't believe none of these losses or goals are his fault. He's such a good goalie.
And then
the emoji of the eyes like rolling like,
if you're focusing on the game on Saturday night, it's not Tuca's fault. If it was, I would be clanging. I'd been all season. My master plan is for them not to retain Tuukka Rask, unless, of course, he short money on a short term deal. I since before Swayman got called up, I've been on this. Tuukka Rask starts tonight. Tuukka Rask did nothing wrong.
Fred and I almost punched each other.
If Rich was in studio, we would have gotten in a fist fight.
Yeah, you're going to like this, Fred. Here's a nice tweet for you. Please tell Fred the stick break goal wasn't the OT winner.
Well, yeah, he's right. He's right. Well, that was a goal.
That's true.
My bad.
It's okay.
You should tweet him back, Fred.
No, he's right. I tweet him back and go, you're right.
Yeah.
I made a mistake, whatever. But another goal. So another goal that he let in was a stick break goal.
The first one was a stick break goal.
Yes. My bad on my recollection of it. But nonetheless, so for that person, I would give a kudos. I would say kudos to you, sir. It was not the stick break goal, and not kudos to no one else for calling me out for being wrong.
Sure.
Yeah, that's a point where someone should correct me. But nonetheless.
I was looking at Ty Anderson's tweet back to people. It's fantastic. He did it all, like 24 hours after that, like all day yesterday he was doing it.
He grew up with it.
I love it.
But if you give Rask a pass, that ruins the agenda of the thousands of fans that hate Rask no matter what he does.
I am not giving him a pass. I'm saying that he did. All I'm saying is, Stop freaking out. They lost game one. These guys have been in
away.
These guys have done this a million times. We've watched playoff hockey a billion times.
They're 5-2 since 2011 when they lost game one.
They were up 3-0 against Philadelphia and we're up 3-0 in game seven. I mean, they lost to a garbage Carolina team when Ward got hit in the face. This is a team that's been heartbreaking in the playoffs, and you are all sweating a overtime game loss on overtime on the road in a game one. Act like you've been here before. This team has broken our hearts a million times, and this team has also come back and been miraculous.
Think about Pittsburgh. They lost in overtime in game one at home, and I think they're 1-11 in their last 12 playoff games.
Think of the Golden Knights. Now, am I wrong about this? The Golden Knights lost yesterday, correct? Because I believe they did. And if they've lost game one, now all of a sudden they're not going to win anything? All of a sudden this is...
The Wild one. It was like one
yeah, the Wild won 1-0 in overtime. At Vegas. Okay, so now Vegas isn't going to win that series. Now Vegas is dead in the water. So all these teams that lost, Vegas is the number one. So Vegas is not going to win. That's crazy. That's crazy talk. Let's relax. Now they lose tonight. Now the Bruins are in a must-win situation where they got to win two at home. And that's not good. They win tonight, everything's fine. They win tonight, they lose game three, I don't care. They win tonight, everything's fine.
All I know is game three and game four, 6:30 starts.
Love it.
6:30.
Yeah, Baker, make a big announcement today that you'll let fans in. That should be the announcement. All right, we'll be right back. Here are the headlines.
98.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
They say in the morning, you'll be talking about all day.
This is a dumb conversation, but, you know, why the hell not? That's what we do.
Cutcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich, John Corrales is going to join us from the Boston Sports Journal at 9 o'clock to talk about
the play-in game, baby.
The big-time play-in game that the Celtics are involved in. But, Rich, you alerted us to the fact that there was last night in wrestling a very frightening... they were the undead Lumberjacks came in and started to... create havoc as the Miz was just trying to handle his business.
Lumberjack zombies attacked.
How do you not focus on zombies, Herc?
And they seemed, the announcers completely flabbergasted, as you can tell by the monotone in their voices.
Yes.
As the undead invaded a public space, attempting to murder and eat the flesh of the people who were indeed performing that night.
Yeah. Try it out on cats first. Works like a charm. All right. Well, there was, at midnight, we were alerted that there was a Inside the Ropes podcast. You can hear this, at the whole thing at your leisure. It's available at 98.5thesportshub.com. It is Jimmy Stewart and Mike Sarge Riley. The two of them, none of us have heard this, but they have things to say. Maybe not about what that particular thing, but about a certain wrestler that I could hear Jimmy Stewart say his name all day and be happy.
Good, fun show, good matches. What stands out to me, and I think most fans, whether they want to admit it or not, is...
Do you want to admit it or not? What stood out to you? Because I'm about to lay it on the line, Jack. Okay? Get ready. This is what, not the undead Lumberjacks. That was like whatevs.
Yeah.
Okay.
The story, the promo, that's what makes us care. Roman Reigns here. Roman Reigns, the head of the table, tribal chief. He's doing...
He's not the bass chief, he's the treble chief. He likes it really loud and tinny.
He's chief of the... Yeah, his speaker's... The woofer's broken.
It's the treble chief.
No, he's a tribe. He's the chief of the Wahoo Indians.
That's my fault.
That's why his hair's so wet.
Right.
He's always sweaty. Him and AC Green. They have the same hair.
Roman Reigns here. Roman Reigns, the head of the table, tribal chief. He's doing everything right now. Mm-hmm. And you know what, Mike? At the end of the day, Roman Reigns is the head of the table.
Uncensored content.
Again, did you have to beep that, Mike, or did they do that?
No, no, Mike had to beep it.
Ooh.
Wow.
He's the head of the effing table.
Randy Inside the Ropes podcast.
They call him the J. Stew. Whoa. Head of the table.
Oh, a censor just for you.
Hickory dickory dock.
Introduce J. Stew.
I was killing a cat.
Now it's dead.
Jack and Jill went up a hill. Jack came down alone. Whoops-a-daisy, what happened to Jill? Don't ask Jack, he won't tell.
And you know what else, Mike Riley?
Yeah.
Everyone is eating.
I got
stop.
Stop for a second. Stop for a second. Is there a concerted effort to get rid of the Sarge moniker?
He won't call him Sarge, remember?
I was listening to the radio on Saturday, and I heard this voice. Like, oh, that I think that's Sarge. I'm pretty sure that's Sarge. And then he goes, well, I'm Mike Riley. Like, he doesn't call himself Sarge anymore, right?
John from Vegas.
Ruined it. Ruined the name.
Well, I think there's a J. Stew thing who he won't call himself
Sarge. No, I know. But if he's not calling himself Mike Sarge Riley, that means that John from Vegas succeeded in his mission to break him.
He broke
Sarge.
Let me see on the Twitter. Yeah, his name is just Mike Riley on Twitter now.
Interesting.
Although his handle is at Sarge98.5.
Oh, you can't change the handle. He's got so many followers.
People might lose track of him if he changes
it. You can't do that.
Roman Reigns beating Cesaro tonight. This was next level work. This is in my conversation for match of the year. Hmm. And I went into it and Cesaro didn't have a chance of winning.
Sit back, Sarge. I'm rolling.
Right.
But the level of psychology,
you'll answer in affirmations. Yes. Right.
Cesaro.
Yeah.
He cuts you right above the belly and pulls out a baby.
You're talking about cesarean sections.
Oh.
I give them one to every pregnant cat. They shouldn't have to give. Don't feel bad about childbirth. You die. Your relatives, your legacy will live on.
That's Cesaro.
Yeah, it gives Cesaro sections to the cats. And then I sell the kittens. They're younger for longer. Usually you'll get a kitten, and then by the time they're 3 months old, they're full grown. Right. Me, you get a kitten, they're babies forever. They never grow. They're always infants.
Very smart.
The secret is don't give them milk.
No.
Your mom's not here to suckle on. Suckle on these radishes.
Radishes?
Yeah, they got no nutritional value. You'll stay young forever, and I make money. Sure, they're blind. Big deal. You don't care.
Right.
But the level of psychology, the level of in-ring work, it's on the Pete Dunne, Finn Balor.
All right, I didn't mean to bring him up, but I mean the level of psychiatry was on the Pete Finn Balor level. Real high. Super high levels. You don't have to know anything about wrestling to get this podcast.
Cesaro doesn't stand a chance.
Cesaro's dead in the water.
Cesaro's delivering babies dressed as a clown. It's a bizarro Cesaro.
Cesaro de Bergerac. Hey, jump out the window. Hey, I'll catch you. Psych.
Cesaro de Bergerac.
Yeah.
Read me a poem.
I hide in the bushes. Hey, just jump out the window and join me. Splat.
It's on the Pete Dunne, Finn Balor NXT level, which is still my match of the year.
Yeah.
But this is in the conversation. It's probably number two right now. So Backlash is in the books. Hell in a Cell will be next. And Mike, we have to have a conversation.
Meaning, I'll talk you.
Sit there. What does that mean exactly?
You shut up.
About whether we're going to watch the AEW pay-per-view or not. That's in 2 weeks.
Yeah, but you mean like watch it and then do a show after or just watch it at all?
Just watch it at all.
Yeah, I said it.
Take that, sucker.
I said it. Now what you going to do, Sarge? Just sit back and watch the sparks fly.
just watch it at all.
Oh, I was planning to do a preview on it next week, but okay, we'll talk.
We can do a preview on it. I'm just saying, I'm wondering, I'm really questioning whether I'm going to watch this one or not.
Oh.
I just see his head bobbing.
Mm-hmm. Take that, take it, suck on it, Cesaro.
Yeah, hope you're listening, Vince. Not quite sure. All right, well, listen, Inside the Ropes podcast, available all the time, 24 hours a day.
Roman Reigns is the head of the table.
Yep.
And at that trash can full of weapons.
And a trash can full of nachos. Calhoun didn't steal it. They came up with it first. That's right. He's head of the effing table. And on the table, there's some Mai Tais and some wings. Oh, enjoy that sound. The ones that I breed don't meow. They haven't developed voice boxes. Nice and premature. How I like it. That's how I like McKinnon's. All right, we'll be back. We'll be joined by John Corrales. He'll break down the Roman Reigns match. No, he'll talk to us about the Celtics as the big play-in game is coming right around the corner.
Roman Reigns is the head of the f-ing table.
Hey, Bob.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.